Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would give me utterance to speak your word and to declare your word in the way that you've revealed it to me, in the way that you've put it in my heart, and the way, Lord, that you want all of us to understand it today. Father, I pray that you give to each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened in the name of Jesus to the truths of your word. And Father, we purpose right now to be not just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4 is where we're going to go this morning. And 2 weeks ago, I shared a message with you, overcoming doubt and unbelief. Anybody remember that word, that message? And then last week, Robert had such a powerful message on getting the Word of God to grow in your heart, planting the seed of the Word of God into the soil of your heart, which is designed to produce whatever is sown into it. Amen. And so that's why it's important to sow the right thing into it. Praise God. We're going to kind of continue in that flow here. And the title of the message today is How to Get in Faith and Stay in Faith. How to get in faith and stay in faith. Romans 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of who? Of us all. Abraham is the father of us all. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit and went to our little charismatic prayer group, we sang a little song. We were, you know, all teenagers. Remember the song? Father Abraham had many sons. Anybody remember that? Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So Robert used a nice object lesson last week. I figured I had to do something. No, I didn't even think about that until just now, but we sang that, though. We'd do right arm, left arm, right. And we even turned around, Father Abraham. Oh, yeah, nod your head. We did, yeah. But we were instilling a spiritual truth into our hearts as we sang that. Father Abraham had many sons. I'm one of them. I'm the seed of Abraham. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's what that means. Amen? He's the father of us all. He's the father of faith. We can imitate him as our father because children are told to imitate their fathers. Amen? And we can imitate him in faith, in the operation of faith, and walking out our faith. Amen? He's the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God had said to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. And Abraham believed that. Even though he and Sarah were childless, he believed that. He believed that God's declaration over him, I have made you, not I will make you, but I have made you. In God's mind, it was already done. I have made you a father of many nations. And Abraham believed that, it said. He believed. And it says, who contrary to hope, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, dead from the standpoint of being able to produce children, right? And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, He, God, was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, his wife Sarah, Scripture says something about her in regard to this as well. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Praise God. So God first spoke to Abraham when he was 75 years old. That's in Genesis chapter 12. And then sometime later, he begins to talk to Abraham. At this time, he's still known as Abram, not Abraham. He begins to talk to him about a child. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, a servant. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. What's God doing? God is giving Abram hope at this point. He's given him a vision. Count the stars, because that's how many children you're going to have. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Now, they had a lot less light pollution than we have today with all of our street lights and security lights and all of that. So when Abram went outside, he was able to see a lot of stars. Amen. And God said, so shall your descendants be. Praise God. And verse 6 says, and he believed that. He believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. And that's our connection. That's our connection. That's the whole point of when the writers of the New Testament letters talk about this and talk about Abraham and Abraham being our father. The whole connection is starts right here, that we're made righteous not by the law, not by our works, but we're made righteous by believing. Amen. Well, that's not our subject today, but I wanted to point that out. So when this happened here in Genesis 15, Abram was likely in his 80s at this time. And you know the story about he and Sarah, they got off track and they said, well, God has given us this promise, but we figure we better make it happen. That was a mistake. That was a mistake, right? And so Ishmael was born, and Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And so 13 years pass. Some people say that because of that, you know, God said, okay, if you're going to do it your way, I'm just going to go silent on you for a while here. And so 13 years pass before the next record we have in the Bible of God dealing with and speaking to Abram. And it's when Abram is 99. Now, Genesis 17, verse 4, God speaks to him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Here it is. For I have made you a father of many nations. In the mind of God, it's already settled. It's already done. Verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call, she needs a name changed too. We gave you one, we're going to give her one. You shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham said, yes, Lord, I believe. Wait, you put the wrong verse up there, Kim. You got to put the one up there that said, Abraham said, yes, Lord, I believe. Did he? No. He fell on his face and laughed. I'm sharing this with you because to let you know there's hope for you and me today. Come on. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Let's just stick with this plan. Let's just stick with this plan. So is Abraham in faith at this point? And clearly he's not. Clearly he's not in faith at this point, is he? Verse 19, then God said, no. He says, let Ishmael live before you. God said, no, that's not the plan. Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, which, by the way, means laughter. God says, okay, if you're going to laugh about it, then let's just go with that. Let's just call his name Isaac, which means laughter. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And so Ishmael, as we said, that represented what Abram and Sarai and Hagar could produce in the flesh, in their ability. But Isaac was going to be truly a child of promise. Isaac was going to be a miracle, a true miracle. Amen? Now, here's a side thought, and that's this, though. The good part is this, that God can even bless our mistakes. Because look at what verse 20 says. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. So God was even going to bless that mistake. Now, it's better not to make them. And it could be argued that it opened up a whole big can of worms that they're still dealing with today in the Middle East. But nonetheless, God said, I'm going to bless him. Amen. So a short time later, Genesis 18, the Lord appears to Abraham again. And apparently Abraham, after God said, I'm going to give you a child by Sarah, Abraham was still having so much trouble with it that he hadn't even bothered to tell Sarah. He hadn't mentioned it to her. Then the Lord appeared to him in the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. In verse 10, and he said, the Lord said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. The New Living says about this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. So the Lord is talking to Abraham, and they're outside the tent there. And Sarah, the Bible says, Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Yeah, we know that already, but the Bible's reiterating it once again. Verse 12, therefore, Sarah said, yes, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. What'd Sarah do? Sarah laughed. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? This makes me know that God, that Abraham hadn't even bothered to tell her about the previous encounter that the Lord had revealed this to him, because she's taken by surprise here, and she laughs about it. She laughs. And so I'm going to get to that. I'm preaching this one today, so praise God. Amen. Verse 12, verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were well advanced, and Sarah laughed within herself in verse 12, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And as Bonnie pointed out, likely there was nothing going on there. Some of y'all will get that later, maybe. So again, the question is this, at this point, is Sarah in faith? Obviously, she's not. She's laughing about it, all right? Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a son since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer to that?
No.
No. At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life. Or this, as the New Living says, at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So now we got Sarah. Not only is she a doubter, she's also a liar. But here's what we know, though. From what we read already in the New Testament, in Romans, and in Hebrews, what happened? They did get in faith about this. They went from laughing about it and thinking this is impossible. They got in faith. They did get in faith. And they did stay in faith. And they received the promise. And Isaac was born. Chapter 21 of Genesis, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Now, he made her laugh twice for two different reasons. He made her laugh the first time because it seemed so incredible, so unbelievable, that she said, oh, this can't happen, and she laughed about it. But now she's laughing in a different way. She's laughing in the joy at the amazing miracle that God did for them because they believed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to verse 1 for a second there, Kim, of Genesis 21. Notice what it says here. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. I want to submit to you this morning that if you and I will get into faith and if we'll stay in faith, then the Lord will visit us just as he has said, and the Lord will do for us just as he has spoken. This might be a good verse to put in your confession sheet and put your name in there and say, and the Lord visited Karen as he said, and the Lord did for Karen as he has spoken. Or say it this way, and the Lord visited me as he has said, as he had said, and the Lord did for me as he had spoken. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So let's go back now to the New Testament, and let's look at the verses that we looked at the beginning. Back in Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. How did she get into faith? It says by faith she did this, so she got into faith, didn't she? Even though she laughed at the beginning, she got into faith. And how did she get into faith? It says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. The Message Bible says it this way, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how we get into faith. We believe that God is faithful. We believe that he who has made the promise will do what he has said. And I know it. Sometimes it's difficult to do that because of the circumstances that we face, because of what we see, because of what we feel. That's why, again, it's so important to practice and to do what Robert was teaching us last Sunday about planting the Word of God. Because when you're planting the Word of God, you're going to get a harvest of faith. Hallelujah. That's going to get you into faith. The heart will produce, if the Word of God is put into it, then we know the Word of God produces faith. And so that heart's going to be a heart full of faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so Sarah believed that, and she judged that God, who had made the promise, was faithful. Hallelujah. So to get in faith in our lives, we have to believe, and we have to make the decision to believe that God is faithful. God will keep his promise. God will keep his word. Despite what the circumstances tell us, despite what the situation says, God will keep his word. Amen? The Bible says this, that she received strength to conceive seed. She was long past the age of childbearing. Besides that, she was barren anyway. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. She never had been able to have children, even when she was younger. And now she's got the double curse of being too old to have kids anyway. But how many of you know God can override a double curse, a triple curse, a quadruple curse? It doesn't matter. Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your heredity says or what your heredity is. God can override that. Amen? Somebody needed to hear that today. Well, you know, my grandmother had this and my mother suffered with it. So, No. It doesn't have to go to you. That may be a double curse, but it doesn't have to come down on you. Amen? Praise the Lord. She received the strength. She received the ability, the capacity to bear a child. In essence, she was healed. Sarah got healed. Amen. And she received a supernatural ability that was beyond the natural of someone her age to be able to have a child. But God did that. God did that. Amen. Praise God. She became convinced that He was faithful, that since He had made the promise to her and to Abraham, He would keep it. She didn't have to make it come to pass. She just had to believe that God was faithful. Amen. And that He would indeed do what He said. Just like it says in Genesis, He visited Sarah as He had said, and He did for her as He had spoken. He's the one that performs it. Amen. They tried to perform it in the natural with Hagar and with Ishmael. But then when they relaxed and they said, okay, no, God, your job is to perform it. Our job is simply to believe. Amen. Praise God. That's how we get in faith. Amen. And let's go to back to Romans again. Romans 4, verse 18. It says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became, it's talking about Abraham now, of course, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. We'll stop right there for a minute. But contrary to natural hope, Abraham in hope, and what is that? That's an expectation created from what God had said. And then God, even before that, God's working on him. God takes him out and shows him the stars. And then later he speaks to him and he says, can you count the grains of sand on the seashore? So he's working on his hope there. And so natural hope was gone. But Abraham had Bible hope. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. One translation says faith gives substance to what's hoped for. Hope is like a blueprint. Faith is like the building materials that builds the building. Amen. All right. And so Abraham, it says he, in hope, he believed so that he became. This is a beautiful progression. Abraham hoped, and then he believed, and then guess what? He became. He became. He hoped, and he believed, and he became. It was manifested. Amen. He became the father of many nations. Praise God. And what did he become? It says he became, look back at verse 18 again. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. What's that next phrase? So Abraham became according to what God had spoken about him. And guess what? You can follow that same progression. You can hope and believe, and you can become what God has spoken about you. Hallelujah. It can come to pass. Amen. Whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's in your family, whether it's in how you see yourself in Christ, you can become according to what is spoken. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Praise God. And so, verse 19, let's go back to that one. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he says, not being weak in faith. So that tells us that we can be weak in faith or we can be strong in faith. And it's up to us whether we're weak in faith or whether we're strong in faith. If you want to be strong in faith, do what Robert taught you last Sunday. Amen. 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 What did Abraham do? It says not being weak in faith, it says he did not consider his own body. All right. Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Our faith will be weak. I promise you, your faith will be weak and will stay weak if you consider your own body, if you consider your own circumstances, if you're continually looking at that, if you're continually looking at the natural. God is trying to move you beyond that into a place of what He's spoken about you, of what He's spoken about us, and the way that we cooperate with Him to allow Him to move us into that is to not consider our own body, to not consider our own circumstances or the deadness of the situation, what seemingly looks like it's dead. Sarah's womb was dead, but He didn't consider that. He didn't dwell on that. He didn't focus on that. What did He focus on? He focused on what God had said. He focused on what God had promised. See, we said to you 2 weeks ago, believing is a choice. It's a choice to accept what God has said over what our senses are telling us. And Abraham managed to do that. Abraham made that decision. Abraham made a choice and he said, you know what? I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to believe what God said. Amen? Amen. Praise God. In verse 20, it says this, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. The King James says, but was strong in faith. So there's the contrast. He would have been weak in faith if he had considered the circumstances and made that his focus, all the reasons why it won't happen, all the reasons why it can't happen. He put all of that out of his mind. He put all of that out and he chose to focus only on what God had said. He did not waver at the promise of God. At what? At the promise of God. God had made the promise about this time next year, Sarah is going to have a child. Praise God. That was a promise, a sure promise of God. And the Bible says he didn't waver at that. King James there says he staggered not at the promise of God. That word waver there is the same word that's used in James chapter 1. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, the King James says, with no doubting. Amen. He who doubts, he who wavers is like a wave of the sea. He says, that man is not going to receive anything from the Lord. So Abraham didn't waver. He didn't go back and forth. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. He didn't go back and forth considering the circumstances and then considering the promise. He focused in totally on the promise of God. He focused in totally on what God had said. He didn't waver through the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Basically the same thing that Sarah did. She considered, she counted, she reckoned that God, she judged that God would be faithful to do what he promised. Amen? And so that's what Abraham did. He became fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. We also said to you a couple of weeks ago this, believing is not a feeling, it's a conviction. Amen. It's being convinced. Amen. Amen. And so again, like Sarah, Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. He became convinced of it. I thought about this as I was studying this out, how it must grieve the heart of God when his children don't believe that he'll keep his promises. Think about that. Think about your own relationship with your children. And you say, hey, come over on Saturday, and I'm going to take you out to eat. And they don't show up, and you say, well, hey, you call them, you say, hey, I thought you were coming over. And they say, well, I didn't think you really meant it. Wouldn't that break your heart? Wouldn't that grieve you if your children doubted your promise-keeping ability. They doubted your willingness to keep your promise. Oh, I know you got the money, Dad. I know you've got plenty of money to do it, but I just didn't think you really wanted to. Well, I told you I would. I told you to come over, and you didn't show up. Hey, it must break God's heart when we don't consider Him to be trustworthy. Well, let's not break His heart. Let's believe. Let's know that our Father means what He says, and He'll keep His promise to us. Amen. He didn't waver. He didn't differ. He didn't doubt. He got in agreement. That word waver also means to differ. He didn't differ. He said, okay, God, you say Father of many nations. You say this time next year, I agree. I agree. I believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was strengthened in faith. His faith grew stronger. He went from laughing to strong in faith. Glory to God. And you can do the same. You and I can do that. We can go from laughing to like, this is unbelievable, to strong in faith. In just a little while, too. In just a little while. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's look at that phrase. It says, giving glory to God. Put that one back up there. I think verse 20. It says, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Praise God. And we'll wrap it up here, too. So, Reed, come on back up if you would. Giving glory to God. We often interpret that, and I think it's accurate, as praising God. Giving glory to God, praising God. And that's a great strategy, and that's what we should do is when we've prayed, when we've believed that we receive until it's manifested. Jesus said, believe you receive it, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. Sometimes there's a space between believe that I receive it and shall have it. All right. So what do I do? And that's the period of time where I have to stay in faith. Amen. And one thing that Abraham did was he was giving glory to God. And in fact, his faith got stronger as he did that. And again, one way we can do that is to praise God. Lord, I'm not asking you for it again. I believe you heard me. I believe you're doing it. I believe it's working. I believe by faith that I have it. I just give you praise for it. I give you thanks for it. Thank you that it's mine. Thank you that it's done. Thank you that I am healed. Thank you, Lord, that I have the money. Thank you, Lord, that I have the provision. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Thank you that it's done. I praise you. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Praise God. But there's another side of this as well. That's important to do, to praise Him, to thank Him that you are healed. Abraham began to thank God. I am the father of many nations. I thank you, Lord, that I am the father of many nations. You said it. I believe it. I agree with you. But there's another way to look at this, which I also believe is true. Giving glory to God as opposed to claiming, well, I did it. See, there's no way that Abraham and Sarah could make it happen on their own. They made Ishmael happen, but they couldn't make this happen on their own. God would get all the glory for Isaac being born. Giving glory to God. Well, what happened? How'd y'all have Isaac? It's all God. He gave us a promise. We chose to believe that He's faithful. And boy, is He faithful. And boy, does He have miraculous power. You know that I was way too old to have a baby. You know that Sarah never had a child and she was barren. But look at what God did. Look at what God did. Giving glory to God. Yeah, we have a part to play, but it's God's power. It's God that gave us the promise so that we could have the faith. Hallelujah. And it's God that brings the promise to pass. Hallelujah. He considered that He who had promised, He was able to perform what He promised. God, You promised it. God, You're going to perform it. Amen. My part is simply to believe that He's able to do that. Praise God. I want to look at a couple of more verses. We'll move away from the story of Abraham and Sarah for a moment. And I want to go to the parable of the sower that Robert talked about, of course, last Sunday. And in Luke 8 and verse 13, it says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe. Notice what's the next three words there? For a while. So they got into faith, but did they stay in faith? They didn't stay in faith, did they? They believed, but they only believed for a while. And in time of temptation, fall away. And so again, that has to do with the condition of the soil, doesn't it? It's rocky soil. There's no root, there's no depth of earth. One translation says, and John touched on that yesterday in his message. It was so powerful. Someone had asked him, why do people fall away? Why do they fall away from following God? Why do they fall away from believing God? And he said one reason is because their Christianity is shallow. He said, I'm not saying, he said, it's real, it's genuine, but it's just shallow. Amen. Our Christianity, our faith, our relationship with God needs to go deep. Amen. It needs to go deep. Building the Word into our lives. Again, like Robert was talking about last Sunday, will cause our faith to get deep. Amen. But they believe only for a while. Believing for a while won't produce results. But don't quit. Don't give up. Let your roots grow deep. Amen. Mark 4 talks about this. Mark 4:17. It says, and they have no root in themselves, but it brings out something in addition that we need to see. And so endure only for a time. They believe for a while. Mark says they endure only for a time. Afterward, what caused them to only believe for a while or endure for a time? Here's what I want us to see. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution, trouble, an attack of the devil arises, because the devil just don't like you. Well, maybe he doesn't, but the devil's not really after you. You know what he's after? The Word. Tribulation and persecution arises for the Word's sake. He wants to get that Word out. Why? Oh boy, he knows the power of the Word more than most Christians do. He knows what the Word can produce more than most Christians do. And so he's after that Word. He wants to get it out. And so he comes with trouble. He comes with persecution. He comes to try to make us stumble and let go of the Word. Well, we ought to be. Jesus told us these things so we could be wise to them, so we could recognize them. Amen? And not let go of the Word when trouble comes. Not let go of the Word when persecution arises. Amen? Praise God. Here's one more. I'll go ahead and share this. One more example in Scripture about this, and that's one you're familiar with. It's the story of Jairus and his daughter. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. She's alive, but she's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. Is Jairus in faith? Yes, he is. He says, you lay your hands on her and she will live. My daughter will live. Praise God. He's not saying, well, come and let's try this. And I heard somebody, you know, tell me about you and I thought I'd try it. Maybe something will happen. No, she will live. She will live. He was positive. He was emphatic. He was in faith. Praise God. But soon, as they're on the way, Jesus said, yeah, I'll go. And soon Jairus encounters news. He encounters a report that could very well shake him out of his faith. And we see that in verse number 35. While he was still speaking, Jesus was speaking to the woman with the issue of blood who had come on the scene in between. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? At that point, Jairus had to make a decision. Do I keep believing or should I, she's dead. I guess it won't work anymore. Those thoughts, I'm sure, went through his mind. And thankfully, Jesus helped him, just like Jesus will help you. Amen. Just like the Holy Spirit will help you. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Only, but keep on believing. In essence, he's and I've shared this before, but he's telling Jairus, "I just need one thing from you. I just need one thing from you. Only believe. Keep believing. The Lord just needs one thing from you. Only believe. Only believe." And he made a decision to do that. He made a decision to keep believing and to stay in faith. And guess what? You know the rest of the story. His little girl was raised from the dead. Amen. So whatever situation that you're facing, God wants to help you. He's got a solution. And that solution, we access that solution like everything else we access from God, by faith. By faith and through faith. So let's get into faith. Let's consider that God is faithful. Let's don't break His heart by saying, "Oh, Lord, I really don't believe that You'll do what You promised." Consider Him faithful. Believe that the one who's promised is able to perform what He's promised. And don't let go of that. Stay in faith. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word today. Father, I believe that the seed of Your word has been sown into good ground. Lord, I believe that these hearts are, as the book of Luke describes, noble and good hearts that will hold it fast and will bear fruit with patience and perseverance. We thank You for that today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You for helping us, just like You helped Abraham. Even though he and Sarah laughed at the beginning, Lord, You led them into faith. They made a decision to believe, and You helped them. And You performed what You said You would do for them. And I thank You, Father. You'll do the same for us, because I'm one of them, sons of Father Abraham. And so are you. All of us are. We thank You for that. We follow in the faith of Abraham, our spiritual father in the faith. We thank You, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. While we're in an attitude of prayer, I want to ask in here, and also to those joining us on YouTube, if there's anyone you say, "I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never said yes to Him. I've never received Him as my Lord and my Savior," I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, would you raise your hand? "Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life." Looking all around the room, anyone in here, Christians praying, believers praying at this time? Anyone here, you'd say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life." And anyone joining us on YouTube, you're here with us on YouTube, maybe that's you, and you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. I don't see anyone raising their hand in the auditorium here, so we'll focus on you right now. God loves you. God sent His Son Jesus to die in your place and in my place. Why? Because our sin separated us from God. The guilt, I know we try to justify it. I know we try to rationalize it. But you know, on the inside, if you're not right with God, there's a guilt, there's a shame, there's a condemnation, there's an emptiness there. That can all be removed from your life. The shame can be washed away. The guilt can be washed away. The emptiness can be filled. And it can only be filled one way, by God Himself, through His Son Jesus, and by His Holy Spirit coming in to our hearts. And the way that we accept that, the way that that happens, is for us simply to believe, like we've been talking about in this message, simply to believe in what God did for us through Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, He was dying for my sin and for your sin and the sin of the whole world. And on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. When we put our faith in that sacrifice And in that action that God did for us, that saves us. That washes us from our sin. And that when we receive Jesus in that way, God comes into your heart and makes you new on the inside. The Bible calls that being made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. Your hair won't look different. Your nose won't be a different shape. But on the inside, you'll be made new. Praise God. So if you want to receive Jesus, I want to lead you in prayer right now. And I want to ask everybody in here in the auditorium to pray it with me. Let's put our hands over our hearts right now. You can do the same right where you're watching. Just in reverence to God, this is a holy time. God is speaking to you. God is drawing you to Himself right now. He sees you, He knows you, and He loves you. So receive Him, respond to Him right now. Just pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. Jesus took my place. Jesus suffered the punishment that was due to me. Lord Jesus, I believe on You. I turn from my sin. I acknowledge that I have sinned, that I'm guilty, and I need a Savior. And You are that Savior. So I trust You now. I call on You now. Wash away my sin. Remove all the guilt and all the shame. Make me righteous. Do for me what I can't do for myself. I can simply believe. And I do believe this moment that You are the Son of God, that You are risen from the dead, and You're my Savior now. Thank You, Jesus. I believe that I am saved. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.